Good morning. I pray you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving week and given God praise for all His goodness and His greatness and the opportunity to be here this morning. Amen. Let's take a moment and let's ask His blessing and His Spirit to be on this place and to speak through me this morning as I share with you what He's laid on my heart. So, Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, a people who want to say thank You and praise You this morning. Lord, for Your love, for the joy You've given us, for the blessings You've given us, Lord, I pray for those right now, Lord, who have lost loved ones this week, Father. Lord, I thank You for the hope that they have in You, in Jesus Christ, of a future, of eternity in heaven with You, Father. We thank You for that hope this morning. Lord, we hang on to that. Lord, we look forward to that. So, Lord, we pray that You would have Your way in this place. Lord, that You would speak through me this morning, Lord, that You would give me the strength to do what You have called me to do this morning, Father. Lord, be with the people in this place, Lord, that have come. Speak to their hearts and minds this morning. Let them know that You care for them and You love them, Father. In Your name, amen. Well, there's a rule in our house that there's no lights or Christmas songs until after Thanksgiving. And so this is the start of the Advent season. And so there's a couple of things that Advent really is meant and is what is supposed to be. And it is to remind us of Christ's first coming. We celebrate His birth in just 4 weeks. And so it is also to remind us that He is coming again. And so, and this is that great hope that we have, that He is coming again. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is this hope we have in His second coming. And so my first thought was to look at is what does that look like? What is Christ returning to earth the second time look like? The Israelites were in the same place at one point as they were waiting for a Messiah. And they didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. They had the prophecies of the Old Testament to give them some ideas and what to look forward to. And we have some of the same. So if you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. What a day that will be as we're caught up in the air. You know, so many times we hear there's two things that are real in this world, and that's death and taxes. Well, I tell you what, if when Christ decides to come, there are some of us who are going to miss out on death. We're going to be caught up in the air and meet our Savior. With those who have fallen asleep before are going to be with Him. Their bodies are going to proceed before us and meet Him in the air. What a great day that is going to be. What something to hang on to anticipate, to look forward to. Trying to think a little bit of what that means to me as I'm going through my daily life and what that's going to be like to be caught up in the air. And so was thinking of rides at Valley Fair. What? You know what I mean? We do know it's going to be an instant, in a moment. But is it going to be just a shooting up to the sky? Is it going to be just I'm there? Do I know I'm coming off the ground? What is it going to be like? No matter what it's going to be something that's going to bring joy to us beyond what we've ever experienced. To meet our Savior in the air, in the clouds. What a great day that's going to be. I just want to touch for a moment that those that have gone before and have died and their bodies are in the earth and they're decaying, this is nothing for an all-powerful God. He's going to raise them up out of the grave and bring them with Him. And their souls that are already there, that we know throughout Scripture where Paul says that to be absent from the body is to be present with our Savior. And when Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So those this week that we have lost in our own family, in our own community, they are in the arms of Jesus this morning. I think back to when my grandma passed away, and I am actually quite a crier at most times. Some of you know that about me, some of you don't. I have a tendency to cry at funerals or different things, but at my grandma's funeral, she was 93, I found that I never even cried. And I found that I was joyous for her because for weeks she had been asking to go home. And so she had that hope, that great hope that those of us who, as it says in verse 14, who believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God, those of us have that hope. So I want us to turn to John 14, 1 through 4. Just thinking a little bit about what is it going to be like in heaven after the second coming, after we meet Him in the air and we go home with Him to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Those of us who are around at the second coming, we've cheated death, so as it could be called. We haven't had to go through that. Jesus is talking to His disciples. Verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, and the way you know." Boy, heaven with a lot of mansions. Just another verse that gives us what it's going to be like, our place with Christ. I also want us to turn to, we're going to jump through a couple of these rather quickly. Turn to Revelations with me. Chapter 21, we're trying to get a feel of what it's going to be like after this second coming of Christ. Some of us are going to get there through death, and some of us are going to get there through the second coming. As we look at this and we hang on to this hope, we see some great promises and revelations on what it's going to be like. In chapter 21, verse 4 through 7, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away." I don't know about you, but we've just gone through Thanksgiving. What a time to thank the Lord for this time. No more pain. Our tears have been wiped away. Those who have preceded us in death, they are experiencing this even now as they are in His arms. No suffering, no more pain. We know that to be here on this earth is to go through hardship, to go through pain. We have kids that skin their knees and fall off their bikes and have to wear helmets and for the different activities. And We think of the rejection that we go throughout life, whether it's from our own family members or people who have hurt us. We think of all these situations of pain, going through marriages that don't quite work out, losing loved ones at young ages when we're not supposed to, that aren't meant to be at those times, facing illnesses. We think of all these pains that we go through, and yet they're going to be wiped away. The tears are going to be gone. It's going to be nothing but joy, nothing but happiness. All these sorrows, all these things that bring tears to our eyes, today we find nothing but joy, nothing but spending time with our Father and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these things are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Boy, praise the Lord, what a hope. What a hope we have. Not to be sorrowful, not to be downtrodden, but to be joyous in this hope that we have in knowing Christ. And this hope that we have to spend eternity in heaven. I want to read a couple more verses out of Revelations. Verse 22. "But I saw no..." He's talking about the new Jerusalem in heaven. And so, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. The gate shall not be shut at all by day, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, but there shall be no means anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The sun and the moon are gone. We have just the glory of our God to light the way. That is the light of heaven. The light of this new city is just the glory of the Lamb. And the gates are open because at this time there's nothing to come to defile it. It's all evil has been wiped out. But the last phrase in verse 27, "but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So we have this great hope, this great thing to look forward to, the second coming, whether we get there by Christ coming on and we meet Him in the air or we get there through death. We have this hope. But as we get excited about this and we hope for this and we want this to happen, we want this Him to come back and to take us away from this world that is crumbling and falling apart, I find a couple of warnings in my heart. A couple of things that just make me think, well, what about until that day? What about until that time? I was reading a little bit of some quotes from Billy Graham, and he was talking about being prepared for this day, being ready for this day. His wife even had commented to him that if the Lord tarries much further, he's going to have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. And so our world is getting that depraved that we think that at some point the second coming is going to be here. But I have no hope if I have not prepared to have this hope in my life for eternity or the second coming of Christ. We looked in John 14 at verses 1 through 4. There was a reason I left off 5 and 6. I want us to turn to 5 and 6 now. John 14, 5 and 6. Thomas is asking this question. You know, where are you going to prepare these mansions? And how do we know the way? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to plan to meet Jesus in the air or to meet him as we die. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. There's some very clear instructions on how we make this a reality in our life. If you'll turn to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. I have made this my destination. And as I look around, I know a lot of you have also. But if you don't know for sure, if you don't know beyond 100%, beyond a doubt, that your destination is going to be eternity in heaven with Jesus, in Romans we read, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and was born, and we celebrate that at Christmas. And he died on the cross, and he rose again. To believe this and to confess it with our mouth is to our salvation, which gives us our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life that we read about in Revelations, that gives us entrance into this hope that we can move on to, away from the sorrows of this world, the pains of this world. So those of us that have made this decision, that have grasped and held on to this hope, we have a job to do. I think about Thanksgiving and getting going to spend time with some of my family members that don't know, or know but don't subscribe to this hope or this Jesus and that he died on the cross. We know in 2 Peter that Jesus said he wishes none should perish. And in Mark, he tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. We've got these commands of what to do as Christians as we wait for these things to happen. Either we're waiting for death or we're waiting for the second coming, but we've got a job to do. And as much as we anticipate this second coming, and we have no idea when that's going to be, Jesus said that even he doesn't know, but only the Father knows when the second coming is going to be. So we have two things to do. We got to make sure that we're prepared ourselves and that we're telling other people. When I get all excited and I say, Lord, I want you to come again, my heart starts to break just a little bit. You know, for guys I've worked with in the past that I know aren't living for the Lord and don't want anything to do with this, for my family members that are lost, we all sit here with people that we know that don't grasp this hope. I thank the Lord when saints like Catherine Anderson get to go to their Heavenly Father and we get to sit with them and talk with them and pray with them, because it's a joyous time. Even though it's sad that they're leaving this earth, it's a joyous time. We get to rejoice in that. But it's not always the case. As we've sat with people and wondered about their lost loved ones, there is things that break our heart yet, because we've got to be in prayer for these people. We have need of a revival in our country, in our community, and in this church. And so I find myself to be at sometimes lacking in how much I feel a need until I get on my knees and I start praying, and Lord impresses this on our heart, the need to tell people the good news, to pray for them. And I ask Him, what can I do, Lord? What can I do? Because one of these days it's going to be too late. And I picture God the Father sitting on His throne, and He's got Jesus at His right hand. And one of these days He's going to turn over and He's going to say, "Son, go get him. Go bring him home." But I'm afraid there's going to be missing some people that God wants in His kingdom. And I don't want that. It's a reality that's going to fall on me to some degree, because in some areas I'm going to fall short. But I've got to give God everything I've got to tell others and to show them the love that I feel in my heart, this hope that I have, this joy that I have. We want others to know it. We want others to feel it and to be able to put those hurts and those pains, and for them to feel Jesus wiping those tears away someday, wiping those hurts away someday. So we have this great hope. Jess, if you want to come, we're going to sing. And if you don't know this morning that you've subscribed to this hope, that your destiny lies with Jesus Christ, again, in Romans it tells us to confess with our mouth and to believe with our hearts that Jesus died and rose again. And so you can do that right where you're sitting, or if you want to come up front, Pastor Jim and I will pray with you. We'll help you do that so that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you're going to end up when either death comes or when Christ comes again to this earth to bring back His children. What a Savior we serve. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this hope we have in You. We thank You for dying on the cross, taking our sin and our shame, and giving us the ability to be called sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your love for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that as we go through this Christmas season, Lord, that we would remember Your birth through the chaos of this world, Lord, and the busyness. That we would remember this is a time about You. We thank You and praise You. Go with us this week. In Your name. Amen.